give me one shot here on a blue chip stock, believe me, Kevin, the only problem you're gonna have is that you didn't buy more.
Nobody knows if the stock is gonna go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
What's going on, NBA draft fans? Your boys are back. The Wolves of Ball Street. Your favorite scouts. It is the fellas, your boys from the NBA Draft Show on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed. My name's Corey Tullivant, and I am here as always with my co-host Albert Garbage Time Gim. Albert, what's going on, my man?
Oh, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. It's a great time. Corey knows, but I just jumped out of LA traffic, sat down in front of the mic, and am ready to go. But I'm excited, man. I'm excited because these are the type of episodes that we always say are a ton of fun, and we always end up having fun. And it's cool because we get to talk about a bunch of different guys all at the same time, do a little temperature check. I'm ready to rock is what I'm trying to say.
I love it. I love it, man. These are fun episodes. And in particular, I think this one's going to be really fun because it's really going to give us a lot of opportunity to break down, you know, from 1 to 50, this group of guys from the NBA draft deck that we came out with today for the initial player offerings, you know, where we take the mainstream big boards and we go through them and we look at what the general consensus, you know, is for these players in like big board form. You know, it's hard sometimes from a singular outlet. Sure, there's intel, there's this, there's that, but there's also a lot of personal bias from these lists. And you know, this exercise that we do here with, you know, the draft act helps us kind of put into frame a larger perspective based on all of the boards to hopefully give us, you know, kind of a general feeling on who is where regarding their draft stock. So I'm ready to get into it, man. Let's do it.
Let's do it, Corey. I'm ready to rock.
All right. So we have our draft IPOs ready to rock. You can check that out at noceilingsnba.com. Let's go in grouping. So our first grouping is from 1 to 5 is going to be Alex Sarr was first, Ron Holland was second, Isaiah Collier was third, Matis Bouzelis was fourth, and Jacoby Walter was fifth. So does anything stand out to you regarding that top five? Did it shake out kind of in the ways that you thought it would?
I think it broke down like pretty, yeah, this is kind of what I was expecting, but Corey, I have a question for you.
Let's go.
I'm excited for this one, okay? And I want to hear you talk about this. And perfect timing, as someone mentions in the comments, am out on Ron Holland. Want to ask you, with the way that the G League Ignite season is going, and it's going. Which
it's
direction?
Certainly going.
You know, but Corey, wanted to get your opinion. With the way things are going, that, you know, that team, the direction that things are going right now, how far do you honestly feel Ron Holland and Matis Bouzelis might end up falling by the time draft day comes?
It's a tough question.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really tough question. Matis is, his draft stock has kind of remained steady.
Hasn't been playing, right?
He hasn't been playing. He hasn't been going through this tumultuous start to the season that the rest of the Ignite has. You know, regarding Ron, we broke his game down in the preseason. And I was a little bit more reserved on my feelings with Ron. You know, we had seen him, you know, working out for a week in practices at the Hoop Summit. Then, you know, he went and he played really well in the Hoop Summit game. So, and then he balled out to start the year against the Perth Wildcats, where he showed some really interesting wrinkles to his game, right? So I was out on him, and then I was in on him. And now I've kind of come around to be like, you know what? I think that my initial gut feeling with him might have been closer to the truth than me kind of overreacting to the two games against Perth. Because I have not really liked what I've seen, and I'm working on a film sesh for the No Ceilings YouTube channel on Haaland that should be out, you know, in a week or two. And like, he certainly has some interesting tools.
Yep.
And he's so young, and I think he has that going in his favor, which is why I'm not ready to like definitively say I'm out on him. But it's also like, he's not really playing in much structure, and it's like, he's doing certain things where we're like, we know he's good at, you know, going out and getting out in transition, like we saw there, but he's taking a lot of bad shots. The shots don't look good. A lot of it looks lazy. Like, it's not like, all right, so this is supposed to be a developmental team, a developmental system, right? And so wins and losses aren't necessarily the most important thing, but it's like, I'm not really seeing his footwork and shot prep improve throughout these early games, right? Like, you're just seeing flashes of like him doing like athletic stuff and playing off instinct. And I really want to see him improve on the nuance. And so far, I just don't really know if that nuance has been there. You know, they're giving him opportunities. Obviously, you know, he had, you know, a rough game against the Utah Salt Lake City team. Yeah. He had like 11 turnovers, right? I don't know. It's been confusing, but I lean on, I'm pretty worried about it, because he's probably not 6'8". And I, while he does have a lot, you know, some pretty interesting skills, I just don't know if he's going to be put in the type of situation where it's necessarily going to pan out. Like, I watch his G League Ignite film, and I see a lot of Cal Jaylen Brown. And I don't mean that as a good thing.
I know.
You know, like, that tape is rough. And I don't know if Jaylen turns into the same player if he doesn't develop under the Celtics system. You know, like, I don't know. Like, what happens if Detroit drafts Ron? You know, and now he's, like, competing for minutes and playing a position, competing with Asar and Cade and Jaden Ivey. And there's, like, I don't, like, it's a realistic outcome. You know, he's still, right, currently, you know, ranked one or two.
Yeah.
On a lot of boards, and general consensus has had him at two right now. So I ultimately do think he is going to fall a little bit. But you know, it's one of these things where I want to see it play out. I don't want to give up because he's so young.
Right.
There are examples of it working with a prospect this raw, but it's also like, you know, I don't know, maybe he goes the Andrew Wiggins route and it's like, kind of underwhelms, and I don't know. He's where are you at with him?
I think the reason why I asked the question is seeing him at two, on this, you know, version of, you know, this exercise, it might be the last time we see him this high, is what I wanted to say. And I, that's kind of me prefacing, like, I really agree with everything that you said, Corey. Haaland was a guy that really impressed me at the Hoop Summit once again, just, and it wasn't like, it was very much an emotional thing where I watched him practice a couple of times, I watched him play, and I was like, oh, this guy plays hard. And I like guys that play hard. The tools that were for sure were there, but, you know, skill wise, he had a long way to go. And I think that, as you mentioned, Corey, that's what we're seeing a lot of right now. And I think it's really important for us to kind of time stamp where we're at right now, where Ron Haaland is at number two. And I think there's a very real possibility by the time that, you know, the draft comes around, that he might have a Jaden Hardy type of fall. You know, and not necessarily in terms of where he gets drafted, but maybe the way that he's perceived. Remember, because Hardy coming into his draft class that year, he was like 1-2 right there. Yeah. And then, you know, he really fell off. And I think Haaland could be a similar type of thing. And another thing that I wanted to mention, Corey, the way that he's been playing in the G League Ignite, you mentioned like a Cal, Jaylen Brown, also, you know, different types of players, but it reminded me a little bit of like the concerns you and I had while we were watching LaMelo play in the NBL, watching LaMelo do a lot of head scratching things and maybe not playing the hardest all the time. And like we mentioned, right, it felt like he was just allowing a lot of his worst impulses kind of come true. And he was kind of tapping into a lot of the bad. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that right now with Ron Haaland. And it doesn't help with the fact that, you know, that team isn't very good. And, you know, also conversely, Corey, I do wonder, we've mentioned how Montez hasn't been playing. I wonder if that almost helps his stock. We'll see, right? Once he gets back and once he starts playing, and if the team starts playing better with his presence, you might be like, oh, okay, Matas, it's good to have you back, buddy. But I think the reason why I wanted to throw this question at you, Corey, is because it's going to be really interesting to see this story develop over the course of the next couple of months. If it continues to go in this direction, people are going to start having some real question marks, not just about them, but maybe even about the G League Ignite. I don't want to go there, and I'm not saying that there's any, you know, credence to that, but I'm saying, like, if this continues, there might be some question marks is what I want to say. And, you know, kind of on the opposite end of the coin, though, like a guy like Tyler Smith has been playing well. So, yeah, you know, I don't want to throw the G League Ignite under the bus and say, like, oh, it's a nightmare. But it's going to be something to monitor. And I think it's something that we'll be talking about a bunch in the months to come.
I think Buzelis has a chance to actually climb due to the situation, yeah, because I think right. that he plays a very safe game. Like, he's not really going to break out of, you know, his strengths too much. He's not going to stray from the path all that much. And any experimentation he does, I think people may perceive in a more positive way, because at the end of the day, he's a 6'10" shooter. Right. And you could chalk it up to, oh, maybe he's a poor decision maker, but he's playing in pro league and blah, blah, blah. He missed a bunch of time. He's coming. I think he's going to have a very different, draft stock situation, just because there's a little bit more of a safety net due to his size and steady shooting. But yeah, the G League Ignite, it's going to be interesting. You know, they, you know, Jeremy Pargo might win the Ashton Higgins Award this year. You know, he's certainly in the running. You know, they don't have that point guard play, that steady presence, right? Like Pujetter, you know, is now with the Rip City Remix, you know, in the front office. And yeah, so I they need a steadying presence, and it hasn't been Pargo or David Stockton or, mm-hmm. you know, I really think that they need to invest in, you know, somebody who could set these guys up and calm things down and run the show a little bit more effectively. Seeing Isaiah Todd back, though. Interesting. Oh, interesting. All right. Let's go to 6 through 10. We have Stefan Castle, Justin Edwards, Zachary Rocheche, Donovan Klingon, and Nikola Topic, who we covered on the show 2 weeks ago before the Thanksgiving break. So did anything stand out to you in that grouping there?
I don't think anything really stood out to me. I mean, Reese Hoshier being at 8 is a pretty good number. That's pretty high. But also there's some real variance, right? Like ESPN has him at 3, while The Athletic have him at 17. That's a pretty big range there. But Corey, once again, kind of want to throw it back to you, because I'm really excited because, you know, we got some interesting news about Stefan Castle potentially making mm-hmm. his return very, very soon. And, you know, we've done a pod on him, Corey, but I think in recent weeks, you've really started to be all in on him. And I know you have him really high on your board. So, Corey, I did actually want to give you the opportunity to kind of get on your soapbox and talk about why you love him so much, because I know I'm pretty sure you're the highest on him than I think everyone at our site. So I thought this would be a fun, this might be where we take out the TikTok camera and start recording a little bit here.
Yeah, I think it's, Rucker is with me. Like, I have Castle at 1 right now. I see the frame, right? I see the 6'6 size. I see the, you know, playmaking flashes. I see the downhill scoring ability. I see the strength. And I look at him and be like, he looks like an NBA player to me. Hmm. You know, he looks like a guy who I know is going to be able to succeed at the next level, and just has the potential, I think, to, you know, kind of be that lead guard who is running an offense, but also can go get buckets, is going to be effective defensively. So it also has a lot to do with just, like, I don't think this class is very good. Like, this is not a secret. This is not me breaking news. Like, the 2024 NBA draft is not top heavy, and I don't know how depth heavy it is either. Like, yeah, I like a lot of players in the draft. Don't get me wrong. I think there's going to be good NBA players that come out of it, but how many, I don't know. But I don't know. I think he's playing in a winning system. I think UConn's going to have a great run. I saw them at Madison Square Garden last week, and that was Sands Castle. I'm hopefully going to get to see him live against North Carolina. Hopefully he returns for that game at the Garden. But like, it's a roster that's really set up for him to thrive too. Like, he has a great pick and roll partner with Klingon. He's got shooters in Cam Spencer and Caravan. Like, so he's going to have spacing, you know, like, he could share the ball handling duties with Tristan Newton. Like, there's a lot of, you know, ways in which he can impact this roster. And to me, he's just like, again, there's a safety net with him. And the thing that I like about him is that while there is that safety net where it's like, all right, I know he's going to be a good player, there's also like a lot of potential there.
Yeah.
You know, and especially if that shot comes along, like if he is a guy who one day is punishing unders and hitting dribble pull-ups and stuff, right? Like, this is a guy who I think really, really, really could have a major impact for an NBA franchise. And I just don't know how many of those guys there are. I think Nikola Topic is one of those guys as well. I really do. I love Topic, and you know, you can go and you know, listen and watch our film breakdown of him that we did. But I think just the skills that he brings are, you know, it's big time stuff potentially. So that's why I'm a fan.
I'm with you, Corey. I think ultimately he'll end up, for sure, in my opinion, in the top five conversation. And maybe he has like a Victor Oladipo type of trajectory. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily in terms of career, obviously, but Oladipo heading into his draft, he was a guy that was like right around that 4 to 7 range and then got taken where he got taken and, you know, had a really strong, well, maybe not a really strong, but, you know, you get what I'm saying. Like, he had flashes, yeah, and he grew into a guy that, you know, became a really good player. But obviously injuries robbed him of, you know, who knows what his career might have looked like. Not to say that I thought he was going to be like Hall of Fame or anything, but a really strong player, right? Super athlete.
Yeah, he had a lot of great years in Indiana.
Yeah, good years for sure. So maybe, you know, that's what happens here with Castle, where throughout this season, you know, he comes back from injury, plays well. Everything that you mentioned and everything that we already talked about on his pod, he's a really, really intriguing player. And as you mentioned, it's not just that he's got this really intriguing skill set and ability, but the situation he's in is almost tailor-made for him to shine and to really show off and, you know, accentuate his different abilities. So I'm right there with you, man. I think it's going to be a really interesting watch with him the rest of the season and how he meshes with all the guys that they got there. And, one of the guys also in that range, right? 6 to 10 that we talked about, Donovan Klingon, that you got to see up close. I think is going to be really interesting to see what happens with his stock. But Corey, the one thing I will say, and we're seeing it here in the chat already, I do wonder if Topic ends up being a guy that goes even higher than this, where right now, I mean, with what you just mentioned with Castle, right? With this being a weaker class and us being unsure of the star potential or even like really high end potential, Topic might be a guy that ends up going top five. And I don't think that'll be really shocking because of the what we've seen on tape so far and with everything that we talked about on his film breakdown. He also, being a lead guard type, might end up kind of, you know, moving his way into that conversation as well.
I absolutely agree with you on that point. And, you know, it's very similar reasons, I think, in a lot of ways for Castle, just as, you know, these lead creator types. Let's go to the chat for, you know, some comments just bouncing around. Money Printer Never Stops says, Andre Stojakovic, what do you think of him as a future prospect? I like Stojakovic. I think he's shown some flashes at Stanford this year. I don't think he's necessarily what he's shown so far leads me to believe he's a one and done. But he's another guy that we got to watch at the Hoop Summit last April for a week. And the kid could really shoot. I think he can create a little bit. Like, I like him. I definitely like him long term.
I agree, Corey. I agree. He needs time. I have him at 102 on my board. So needs time.
Yeah, he needs time, but he's, you know, he's definitely a, oh, let's keep tabs on this guy. Yeah. Mr. Ray says, the real question is, where is Reed Shepard on this top 50? Yeah, I'm with you. So, you know, the way this thing works is this comes out and it's a current glance of the most recent big boards of No Ceilings, of ESPN. We had Yahoo, Tankathon, The Athletic, and I think I'm forgetting one, maybe Bleacher Report Bleacher as well. Report. So Reed Shepard is going to be on a lot of these boards, you know, going forward. He is going to be on the next one, you know, and for instance, like No Ceilings had Justin Edwards at number one at the time of our first big board. We haven't released our second big board yet. So that ranking gets averaged into his current ranking. You know, so Reed Shepard wasn't on our first board. He wasn't on a lot of the first boards. He's on some of the newer boards, but he didn't make the cut for the top 50 because he's not on all the boards yet. He will be. So Reed Shepard definitely going to be on the next top 50 or top 60. Cause he is a hooper, man. Like our own Tyler Rucker posed the question, like, is he the modern day Kirk Heinrich? And I absolutely love that. And I am so far in on that Kentucky backcourt of Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham, which we'll talk about Dillingham in a little bit. I'm sure. Gregory Castillo says, yeah, French Nerlens Noel going one is a tough draft.
I think Sar is better than Nerlens Noel, but sure.
It's good. It's good comedy.
Yeah.
It's definitely good comedy. All right. 11 to 15. We had Tyrese Proctor, Ethan Almansa, Cody Williams, Kyle Filipowski, and Ade Mara.
When do we start talking about Cody Williams, Corey?
I think soon. Where are you at with Cody Williams?
My concerns with him are still there. Sure. However, the way that he's played so far in the season, I'm kind of like, maybe I just let that go because I really liked what I've seen, Corey. Like, I think so one of the concerns that I had with him was like physicality, but already with this Colorado team, there have been a couple of times like him, he's going to the rim and he looks a little different. I don't know what it is. Maybe
does he look stronger to you?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if he's like big man on campus there in Colorado and he's got like this newfound confidence, maybe more strength, but the way that he's been attacking the rim has looked good. I've really liked the touch as well. The shooting from outside has looked pretty good. I don't know. I like him a lot more than I thought I was going to like him, considering what we saw at Hoop Summit, where, I mean, I thought he was pretty invisible during practices. And then obviously in the game, he like barely played at all. But so far from what I've seen, it's hard to not like what he's been doing out there with the size and the length and, you know, some of the, you know, the ability that he has. I was just like, I think we need to start having that conversation is where
I'm completely with you. I have him in my top 10 currently. Oh. Like, I mean, like, you know, I haven't fully updated my board, but he will be in my top 10.
Right.
He looks huge out on the court. He looks long and he's a different player than his brother. Yes. Right. Like I know one of the first things people like to say is like Cody Williams, brother of J-Dub. Right. And it's like, Cody is his own player.
Right.
And, you know, I think that kind of gets to J-Dub a little bit because he wants him to carve his own path because he's good enough, right? But I do think that it is okay to mention him in a sentence with Jalen in regards to, like, I think he looks stronger already. And you have to, like, remember, like, Jalen was in college for, what, 3 years?
He was.
Right? And now he looks insane. Like, he has an insane NBA frame. Like, he is, he looks like Julius Randle strong, you know, like Kawhi strong. And I don't know if Cody will fill out in exactly the same way because he's a little bit taller, a little bit leaner in that regard. But I do think he's going to put on muscle. And when you picture him, you know, what, 4-5 years down the line, wherever it would be to catch up to his brother in that stage of like their physical development. I think that's something that you can actually look at and be encouraged by. So I love how he's gotten downhill. I think the offhand finishing has been tremendous.
Big time.
Like it's the touch around the hoop's been really good. The outside shot, like, I'm in on the
trajectory.
Still shooting it. Like, I don't like his base. I like the upper portion, like the follow through, the touch, but his base sucks still. Yeah. Like, you know, like that definitely needs some work, but he's been a lot of fun. And I think the defensive tools, and I'm in.
Yeah. No, Corey, I'm right there with you, man. I think some of the playmaking flashes are there as well. I think the shooting base you mentioned is bad, but like, you can start to see the pieces. Now it's not finished yet, right? But you can start to see some of the pieces coming together, and that's what's exciting. And also, with everything that you mentioned, like, even from when we saw him at Hoop Summit till now, he's bulked up. Yep. Like, he already looks bigger. So yeah. If we're talking about 2 years from now, 3 years from now, who knows? Like, he obviously, like you said, he doesn't look exactly like his brother, but he's going to put on muscle because he's already shown that he can. And it's hard to do that. And I don't know. I'm right there with you. I'm excited. That's why I wanted to ask the question. We'll see. Maybe he is a guy that ends up going top 10, because why not? I know some people had some questions, and so did we, heading into the season, if he really was going to be a one-and-done guy. But if he keeps playing like this, I think it's almost a lock. So that's exciting for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's been a lot of fun, for sure. Like, and I can't wait to continue to monitor his progress, because it's trending up for sure. All right, 16 is Bobby Klintman in the NBL. Then we have DJ Wagner at 17, Trey Alexander at 18, Ryan Dunn at 19, Adembona at 20.
So, Corey, this is actually a really interesting group, right? With some really fun names.
It is an interesting group.
We would be crazy not to talk about Trey Alexander. We'd be crazy not to talk about Ryan Dunn. But the guy I want to start with, DJ Wagner, because actually, you know what, Corey? Maybe we don't have to start with DJ Wagner, because we shared our piece on DJ with DJ Wagner before on different pods, and I don't think we're the hottest on him. But Trey Alexander, a really, really good start to the season. I think, Corey, I know we both had some questions about him last season, right? But he looks stronger to me. He looks bouncier to me. I don't know. He looks a little bit bigger to me too. I don't know exactly how to quantify what about him looks different, but you see some of these flashes, and obviously we knew he could score the ball. He could shoot. He could put the ball in the basket, but it's looking more confident. It's looking stronger. It's looking bouncier. It's looking more aggressive overall. It's hard to not like the start that he's had to this season.
Yeah. He's been really impressive, and we were like a little cooler on him for sure. And like, I saw him live last year, you know, being in the backyard of the Big East, and it's like, all right, he's got great percentages. I was impressed when I saw him, right? He's super long. What do you measure with, like, a 6'10" and a half wingspan at the combine? So like, he had like all the pieces are there, right? So it's like, why are you a little cooler, right? Like, that's, and I don't know, there was just something that was always underwhelming about the numbers. Like, it's not like they were empty stats, but it also didn't feel like super impactful at the same time. And maybe there were just a lot of mouths to feed, so he didn't get to cook like he is now. But he's definitely been somebody that you're like, all right, I have to pay attention. I still don't know if I'm ready to be like, I have to take him in the lottery this year. Mm-hmm. And I know like a bunch of the guys at No Ceilings have been there. You know, I know, like, I mean, if you look at his draft stock, on these outlets, like Yahoo has him at 13, The Athletic has him at 14. So like, he is very much in the mix to be a lottery pick. I definitely want to see him the rest of the year, and see how he looks in conference play. Cause you know, he has been a little less solid the last couple of games than he was when he started out. But it's not like he was just only killing, you know, the lower, you know, level competition. He had a great game here against Iowa. So he's definitely I'm going to be cautiously optimistic about him. I still just wonder what his ultimate role is in the NBA, because if he is a guy that bounces between one and two, is Is he a backup? Is he just like your fifth starter? So I still have those questions about him, but he's been somebody that you has definitely helped his draft stock, I think, the most.
Yeah. Yeah, Corey, I think the way that this is just my opinion. I think the way that NBA front offices will view Trey Alexander would be like an Emmanuel Quickly or high end 1% outcome, like a Tyler Hero type. Right. Mm-hmm. Where a little bit undersized, a little bit, you know, in between positions, but can give you a little bit of both. Right. Like the way that the Knicks use Quickly. Right. He's essentially a small two on the Knicks. You know, he's playing. He can, you know, he can play a little bit of point. I would never entrust, you know, give the keys to Quickly full time and be like, hey, run my team. Personally, that's just me. But as a guy, you know, coming off your bench as a six man who can run the second unit in spurts and also provide outside shooting, can attack the rim, whatever. I think that's what NBA teams will look at when they see Trey Alexander. And I think in this type of draft, anywhere from late lottery to the early teens, I think is totally early 20s is totally fine for this type of player. And I don't think it would be crazy for him to go, even if he went like 17th in the draft, I think that's totally fair. And with him being 18th in your IPO here, I think that's a totally fair number. And, but still, like, once again, like, because of the shooting stuff, because of, you know, he's got a little bit of playmaking to him, in my opinion, got some length, whatever. Interesting guy, an interesting guy to watch. And as you mentioned, Corey, as you know, when he's not playing whoever the fuck state, you know, and he's playing against stiffer competition, that'll be where we really start to see how much he's grown and how much he's developed. So I'm with you, man.
Yeah. Later in the chat says, I love Trey Alexander. He's been elite this year. And then Gregory Castillo in the chat says, I can't tell if he is Derek White or a backup like Corey Joseph. I think that's kind of where I am with him too, because I could see both of those outcomes. But I agree. I think those draft stock, that, you know, like that range is probably appropriate for my feelings there. Should we talk about Ryan Dunn?
We should.
Okay.
We should. We should.
What are you, where are you at with Ryan Dunn this year?
I actually wrote his preseason thing for our preseason draft guide, and I was excited for him. I wanted to see, because you know, and where I made the mistake, Corey, was I was like super optimistic about his outside shooting, where it was a little too much. And I had to kind of recently look myself in the mirror and be like, hey, relax, man. Like, he's not going to be a sniper. It's okay.
I kind of like it. I think his form is fine, though. I don't know.
No, I'm with you. No, but like, the thing is, like, I got caught in like looking at his high school numbers, and there was like one or two seasons where he was like 40%. And I was like, ooh, you know, like, yeah. Is that in him? But I definitely, you know, took that way too far. But no, a guy that I like, a guy who is going to be, what's the best way to put it? A nightmare as a defender. And I mean that in the best way. Like, he's going to be such a fun NBA defender and a guy that I think a lot of NBA teams will look at and be like, oh, it'll be fun to add this guy to our team, even if we don't look at the offensive stuff, right? Like, what he can do with his stock numbers and his energy and the length and the athleticism and all the stuff that he can just offer with his heart and just effort. That stuff is really, really fun. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you're hoping for growth. You're hoping for, you know, that arrow to keep pointing upwards. But the biggest thing for me watching Dunn and what I wrote about with him is just you can't help but like the defensive stuff with him. It's kind of intoxicating sometimes. So I think those are my initial feelings with Ryan Dunn.
Yeah. You know, I've been thinking, like, watching Ryan Dunn, I'm like, is there kind of like a Jalen Johnson-esque role for him? You know, he's somebody who was having a lot of success in Atlanta before the injury. And like, I don't think they're completely the same players, right? Like, Johnson is a guy who had a lot more like on the ball playmaking equity, but like, I think like that big kind of switchable defensive kind of guy who's strong enough to play kind of whatever position you want and make an impact there. And then, like, you know, Johnson was not known for being like a sniper by any means either, right? And like, So I think just like as a downhill transition guy who's gonna like, I don't know, I maybe a role similar to that in some ways in the league, and but he's gonna be super impactful because the defense is so solid. I mean, ultimately the shots have to go in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't want to be like, hey, I really like the form. I think he's going to be fine. He's got to prove it. But I think there's a base for him to work with, and like a NBA team with a good developmental system, like, should not be scared away because he's not knocking down shots yet. You know, I like Reese Beekman, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't say that he's the kind of elite level creator that, you know, he might get to play with at the next level. So I think that might help him get easier looks and more wide open looks. And just, I don't know. I'm definitely in. I think, you know, he's a guy that in a class like this is going to be hard to keep out of the lottery conversation all year. Just because he is so damn impactful. I don't think these defensive numbers can possibly stay, you know, where they're at. But, you know, even if they are, you know, they tail off, they're still going to be crazy, I think, by the end of the year. So he's really interesting. And Virginia guys, like, are good pros.
Yeah. Yeah. Corey, you bringing up Jalen Johnson, God, a guy that I really struggled with in his class, if you remember. I remember that was the first time we potted with Nate, too. And he was like, you know, asking me why I didn't like him. And I was just like, I don't know if he knows what he's doing on a basketball court. And I didn't like how people were projecting him to be like, I don't know. There were a lot of different things, but I'm really happy for him. And also, I don't know if I was that wrong, because like I always said, like I didn't really believe in the outside shot. I thought he was a guy that had to fit in and be in a system that really accentuated his strengths. And I think he found that in Atlanta. So I'm actually happy for him. And I think with Dunn, I think it is a similar thing, Corey, where, as you just mentioned at the end, like eventually, like we like how the shot looks for sure, but it's got to go in. And that's always the case. Like we can like a guy's form, but if the shot doesn't go in, then maybe we should stop liking the damn form, you know? And with Dunn, it's kind of the same thing. But as we both said, the impact is there. And I think he's a guy that is just going to be so much fun to watch. And, you know, maybe Virginia makes a nice run in the tournament and he pops off and does a million different things. And then, you know, it's a different discussion because, once again, the type of class that he's in and what this class is, and who knows how high a guy like that can go. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely looking forward to see him in ACC play this year. And, we'll definitely be checking him out live when he heads to Boston College for sure. All right. 21. We have our guy, Kevin McCullough from Kansas. At 22, we have Khalil Ware. 23, we have Tyler Smith. 24, we have Salon. I can't. Tijani Salon. It's fine. And 25, we have Jared McCain. Pretty good group. Pretty interesting group as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. To touch on Khalil Ware, I covered the UConn game at the Garden last week or the week before. I don't remember. Time is a flat circle. And it was part of the Empire Classic, in which Indiana was also a part of. I managed to, so right now I'm in season coaching my team. And so we had practice. So I didn't get into the city until basically like 5 minutes or so left in the Indiana Louisville game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I really want to see Khalil Ware. And then as soon as I got there, I was like, oh, they're in a 2-3 zone. Perfect. And I learned nothing other than Malik Renew went to work, and I really like his game, and he looked really fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to go to Rutgers and, you know, to get and see them in Big Ten play, but he's been producing this year.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's consistency, cause that's kind of one of the big question marks with him, is like, can he consistently put in the effort to make an impact?
Yeah.
And I think he's done a pretty good job of that so far this year.
I still have concerns But Corey, I like what you said. Damn, I was so ready to be like, nah, man. Like, but like, okay, you had a good game against Wright State. Maybe it's because of last season. Maybe that left like a bad taste in my mouth. But like, I have a lot of trepidation, a lot of reservations.
That's very fair.
Yeah, because like you said, Corey, like let's see it in Big Ten play. Let's see him do it consistently. He's had a good start to you're right, Corey. We do need to give him credit for what he's done. I shouldn't be so hard on, you know, what we saw last year and what it might be from what we've seen so far in this season. If you're a Khalil Ware fan, you should be encouraged, right? It's just for me, before I go like, hey, I'm really into this guy, I still want to see more is kind of how I feel right now. But it's hard to also like not like some of the stuff that he does. Like he's also like really long and he's a tall guy. And the NBA likes tall guys, and he's got some athleticism to him, and maybe he's going to shoot it a little bit. I get all that. It's just the biggest thing with him is consistency. We've got to see him do it night in and night out. And I think if he can do that, sure, you can sell me on him. But right now, I still have big question marks is how I feel.
And I think those question marks are completely fair and warranted, and he's going to have to continue to impress and show that consistency. But what I will say is he's getting that opportunity with Mike Woodson, and he's getting a leash that he didn't have at Oregon. So I think that's important for a guy like him, because I also think that like at this point coming back in year two, it's like, all right, so this is also going to be a confidence thing, right? Like, you know, and when that confidence builds, I think it's an important aspect for a young player to, you know, be able to thrive. So I'm happy to see it. I do want to talk about Kevin McCullough too, because Kevin's somebody I've gotten to spend time with the past two pre-draft processes. I've seen how he works. I've seen who he is as a person. He is like the best dude to be around. He is so energetic, so positive, so supportive of the guys that he's working out with. He's supportive of his rebounder. You know, I when I covered him the first year, like his rebounder was this, you know, kid from New Jersey, and the kid couldn't rebound the next day because he had an AAU game. And Kev's like, oh, what time? Where's it at? Like, I'm going to pull up. You know, like that's just kind of the person that
that's cool.
He is, you know what I mean? This is a dude who, like, I just believe in the person. I believe in the player. I believe in the work ethic. And he's having a hell of a year, right? He's a little older now. So, you know, that's probably going to be held against him in some regard. But, like, his draft stock is higher than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And he's a fifth-year college player. Mm-hmm. He's had back-to-back triple-doubles this season already. You know, he's not shooting the ball great, you know, and that's not something that he's known to do, you know, but being around him, I know that what he's really waiting for when it comes to his shot, like he's putting in work with the shot, don't get it twisted, but I know that like, he's not like, hey, I'm going to rework the shot and rebuild it in the off season. So I come back with this new form. He's waiting until like he gets to the league. And he gets to it with a team, he doesn't want to have to rebuild his form multiple times.
Yeah.
So, I think that he has good touch and he's such a hard worker that I think ultimately he's going to shoot it adequately enough. But I know that this is a kid who I just think is going to be on a bunch of winning teams. He's going to be a great presence to be around. He's a winner. I mean, defensive Swiss Army knife, right? Like he's passing the ball like crazy. He rebounds like hell. He moves off the ball, and to see him at 21 right now, I think is awesome, right? Like, cause you know, this is a guy that mostly you would look at and be like, oh, I think he's probably more of like a second round guy cause he's so old, but the fact that he's garnering first round buzz, and I think it's completely warranted. I think it's awesome to see from a guy like him. And I think a lot of the success of a guy like Christian Brown and, you know, these older prospects who are, you know, coming in and playing immediate roles, seeing Jaime Jaquez, you know, thriving for the Heat this year. And, you know, I think that certainly helps.
Corey, I think we see it every single year. Every draft class, we find these guys that know how to play basketball, play at a high level, can do multiple things, but maybe aren't like the strongest shooters. Like we get these guys all the time. And a perfect example of a guy who plays for my favorite team, the New York Knicks, a guy like Josh Hart. Like guys like Josh Hart stick in the league. Why? Because they're good teammates. They're really smart basketball players, and they make winning plays without being, you know, dead eye shooters. But also, like, look at Josh Hart. Like, he's become like a semi decent, maybe slightly below average 3-point shooter. But what does he offer? He's one of the best rebounding, if not the best rebounding guard in the league. A guy who can move the ball, a guy who can compete for you defensively, is willing to guard the best wing guard on the other team every single night. You need these types of guys. And as long as we're not projecting Kevin McCullough as some sort of, I don't know, offensive hub or whatever, this is the type of guy that finds a role in the league because of his multifaceted game. And so I'm right there with you, man. He's knocking on the door for a triple-double every single night. And I think he's going to do that throughout the season. He's already had a pretty good start. And, you know, he's got KJ Adams with him and Hunter Dickinson. And it's going to be really fun to see the type of season he puts together by the end of it all. But Corey, even like the mention of like Jaime Jaquez and the impact that he's having with the Miami Heat right now, like you can see how a guy like McCullough could come into the league and have an impact. And NBA teams are going to be into that. So I'm right there with you, dude.
Yeah, I think he ultimately in the league can find himself in like a Bruce Brown kind of role where he's like doing weird stuff, like setting screens and short rolling. And I think he's going to be able to do a lot of stuff like that. So super excited for his start to the year and the way that the basketball world has perceived him because he's an impact guy. All right. 26, we have Trevon Brazil. 27, Riley Kugel. 28, Melvin Ejinka. 29, Rob Dillingham. Number 30, Baba Miller. 31, Oso Iguodaro. 32, Tristan Da Silva. 33, Aaron Bradshaw. 34, Kylan Boswell. 35, AJ Johnson. I think we have to talk about Rob Dillingham.
Boom. Let's do it.
I think we have to. Because Rob Dillingham, the guy that I was just out on him.
Same.
Like, I didn't like what I saw watching his high school film. I thought that he was a shot chucker who took really bad shots. I didn't like the OTE stuff. I didn't like what I saw when I went to see him in person at the Iverson Classic. I thought he was tiny. I thought that he, again, just didn't play a winning brand of basketball. I didn't love what I saw at Global Jam.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. He's been like one of the best guards in college basketball, like except Reed Sheppard plays on his team too. Mm-hmm. He has been so much fun. He's playing such a nuanced game. Mm-hmm. He's taking such good care of the ball. He's making plays for his teammates. He's a guy that you can run off screens. He's a guy who can create his own shot. He's finishing well. He definitely looks like he put on some weight. He looks longer. He actually looked bigger than Nigel Pack. Yeah, again, in the Miami game, like where I was like, oh, he looks like a little taller than him. And, you know, Nigel Pack's listed at 6 foot. I would doubt that he actually is. He looks like a dude.
Corey, they're doing something in Kentucky, man.
Yeah.
And like, we know this, but something's happening, man. Like what you just said was the biggest thing that stood out to me watching him playing against Miami. I'm like, why is he taller? Like, what the hell happened? Like, and like, also we forget, like, they're like 18, 19, whatever, but why is he growing taller? It looks strange. Like, he genuinely looks bigger. Corey, I think on my first board, I had him at like in my 50s or 60s, maybe even higher. And I'm just like, dude, this guy looks like a different player. Watching him in the OTE stuff, sometimes some of it reminded me of like Julian Newman, Gio Wise type of stuff. And I was just like, don't show me any of this guy. I don't want to watch him play basketball was kind of how I felt with some of his high school stuff. And dude, he's been really damn good, Corey. Like, I love everything that you said. And like, even the way that he's attacking the rim, there was like one last night where he's at the wing and he just walked to the rim. Like no one could stay in front of him.
I think, quick, man.
Yeah, dude.
He glides, he's smooth.
It was weird. It's so weird. And he's also athletic. And if he's just going to be a taller guy suddenly, and he can, and he's playing a smarter, more nuanced game, I'm like, bro, I'm all the way in. I've loved
it. And he was defending. Yeah. Like, he's like really putting effort on the defensive end in like a real way where I was like, yo, he's like in homie shirt. You know, like, he's really making it hard at the point of attack. Now, look, to put things into a little bit of perspective, I still think teams are going to pick on him. I think he's going to struggle on that end, like, 100%. But, like, if the effort's there, then, like, all right, like, his offensive impact might be enough. Like, when we did the no ceilings, like, conference previews, and it was like, who do you think might not live up to expectations? I was like, I just don't, unless Dillingham proves to be like an offense in and of himself, a la like Trae Young, then I don't think that he's going to be that guy that like he might be being billed as, because he did have the, like, social media, like, online hype behind him, and like a lot of times those guys don't really make it, right? But he has been like ridiculously fun. He's super shifty with the ball. I've just absolutely had so much fun watching this Kentucky team, and I'm not like panicking about Justin Edwards either, by the way. Like, he might not be the number one guy or even a top five guy, but like I think he's gonna be fine. But Dillingham has been awesome. Like, later from the chat says, seems like Rob just needed proper coaching and he got that at Kentucky. Yeah. And I bet there was like a conversation with him after Global Jam too, that was like, hey, like,
chill,
you got to play a team game, you know, like, you know, we're trying to win a national championship here. We think you could help us do that. But I'm telling you, after Global Jam, I was like, yo, I wonder what team like is going to sign him from the transfer portal. That's where my mind was at with Dillingham. Like, what team is he going to go to is just going to let him do his thing? But he has bought in completely, and I've bought in completely. And like, I'm probably gonna have him in my lottery on our next board update, like, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I think Corey, both of us convincingly like him a lot better than DJ Wagner.
It's not even close.
Exactly. And I think for some people, no, I actually don't think it's close anymore. And I feel the same about Reed Sheppard. And I love when Dillingham and Sheppard play together.
It's that, so much fun.
That combo is sick. And I don't want to take any credit away from Dillingham, but I almost wonder if Reed's also had an effect on him with, like, you know, his composed, selfless type brand of basketball. Like, when they're together, that shit rocks.
They have so much chemistry.
So good. So damn good.
Reed is amazing. Like, Reed's awesome too.
Reed. I've moved
the Kentucky Reed team's off. Fun, man. A dude, the arrow. God. Like, it's just a team full of like energy guys. It's gonna be really interesting. And I was texting with J. Kyle Mann about it, like, because, you know, he's a big Kentucky fan or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, he used the word adaptability to, you know, for Rob as a guy who, like, we didn't know he had it, and he has it, right? I want to see how this team adapts when the bigs come in, you know, when Bradshaw and Avisic enter the fray.
He's been so damn fun. Like, Corey, it's, I actually think it's crazy that you and I are talking about him like this right now. Like, this early.
I didn't see it coming.
This is insane. This is insane.
But I'm happy. Okay. I'm happy because this class needed more fun prospects, and that's what he's done. And, you know, look, in a normal draft, would I maybe be talking about him as like a lottery guy? I don't know. He certainly played like it so far as like his impact. But at the same time, I don't know, but we're talking about it, and he has. So, every time Kentucky's on, I'm like, I will watch this. Yeah. I'm in. All right. 36, Kobe Johnson. 37. Berkey. Boyensel. I'll get it by June. 38, we have Dylan Jones. 39, Reese Beekman. 40, Judah Mintz.
I'm sorry, Corey. After you tried the Berkey one and you read Dylan Jones, I was about to be like, good job with the Dylan Jones. But,
yeah, you know.
Judah Mintz, you know, he's doing stuff.
All right. We could talk some Judah Mintz.
No, I don't. I think we're okay.
He's not for me.
Nope. Me too.
I'm willing to be wrong about Judah Mintz.
I don't think we're going to be wrong, Corey. And I don't mean to like trash on the kid. It's just, we've seen that archetype and, I think I'm okay. Like if I was an NBA front office guy, I'm not looking to draft him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't either. Again, I just don't know what his role is. Like I don't think he has enough juice to be an on the ball primary guy in the NBA. And I just don't know what he's going to look like as like an off the ball guy. So
Corey, I have a name for you.
Okay.
Alonzo Trier.
Mm. ISOZO.
Yeah. It's similar, you know what I'm saying? So
at 41 we have Caleb Foster. At 2 we have Eves Missy. 43 we have Zach Edey. 44 Garway Dwall. 45 Dylan Mitchell. 46 Dalton Connect. 47 Carlton Carrington, Bub Carrington aka. 48 Trenton Flowers. 49 Daron Holmes. And 50 Zvonimir Avisic.
I was talking with somebody, don't want to name him just because they don't want to. Anyway, talking about Dalton Connect, and I like him, dude. I like him. But he said something interesting. He was like, he asked me like, how do you feel about Caravan as a defender? I was like, I think he's kind of slow. And you know, but I think he's smart. And he was kind of like, well, I think Connect is worse than him. Now it's like, oh, okay. Sure. I can see that. And I can understand with Connect, you know, like I think his age is a non-factor. Totally fine with his age, but I've liked so far the athleticism, right? With him getting downhill. Sure. I like the shooting and stuff like that, but I can also see why he's kind of in this range right now. And but at the same time, like, you know, I think he's going to move upwards because we currently, I think overall as a team, we're going to have him higher than the 48 that he was at last time.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a first round pick in this draft. I think his offense is just going to be that solid.
Agreed.
I think he's got the size and the frame to defend. And I think at the NBA level where he is not carrying nearly as much of a load, he'll be able to focus a little bit more energy and effort on that side of the ball. I do want to say, you know, you mentioned Alex Caravan. He was somebody I was like teetering on. Because it's like, all right, the numbers are the numbers. Like they're really good, right? And he's got really good size. But I saw him again, like I went to UConn last week and I was like really impressed by Caravan. He's another guy that I think is like going to be in that same conversation with Connect. So I think putting those two together is smart. But Connect is just, I don't, there's a fluidity with Connect that like Caravan doesn't have. Like Caravan is very mechanical, very stiff. There's not a lot of creativity to what he could do. And I think with Dalton, there is. I know I'm pretty sure he had like another huge night tonight against North Carolina, where according to our group chat, Rucker said he had 31 with 10 minutes left. So like he is just, you know, like this dude is a bucket. He is a bucket. He could shoot. He's athletic. He'll get to the rim. We're about to watch him posterize. I think he's really good.
Yeah.
And I think he's a guy that NBA teams are going to be like, we can work with a player like this. And again, like, you know, I don't think he's gonna be a lottery pick because of his age, but I don't think teams are going to be afraid to draft him. The way he's been absolutely balling out, hooping, and you know, with his athletic profile, like I definitely think he's a dude. Like he's a first rounder pretty easily for me. And like, I think he could even sneak his way into like the late teens.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree, Corey. I think, once again, like the athleticism with him, the frame on him is fantastic. There's an aggression. There's an anger that he plays with that's fun to watch. And the outside shooting is going to be good. So I'm with you, man. I think he's going to be much higher on the next version of this. As will, I think a couple of guys in this range, honestly. Duwall, a guy might move up to.
Carrington. He definitely has potential too. Carrington's a hot name.
Mm-hmm. Is a hot name. I've never heard your opinion on him.
Yeah, so I was watching him today, just catching up on some Bub Carrington, and I'm still in wait and see mode with him. Like ultimately, like we know he came out the gate, had a triple double, like. And I love some of like the pull-up shooting that he's displayed. Like I really like a lot about his game. But at the same time, I think he has 7 shots at the rim this year. Mm-hmm. Like he puts zero pressure on the rim, and like with his size and like the way that he is, like crafty and wiggly, like he should be getting into the paint, especially like, you know, it's not like they're in their conference schedule playing in, you know, the ACC teams fully this year. Like he should be getting in the paint more, and he settles for a lot of the mid-range shots, and that's a shot he's comfortable with. It's a shot that I'm comfortable with him taking. It's a shot that he's really good at. But that's a shot that teams are going to want to live with. It's a shot that he's going to have to hit at a really high clip to make it worthwhile. And it's a shot that also, I think teams are going to be able to, like, contest because they know he's going to pull up. So he's going to take a lot of tough ones. You know, I don't think he's attempted a runner according to Synergy this year. Like, so his float game, he doesn't have that. Like, so like, I definitely have some reservations about him. With that said, I think he's a really good passer. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's like an elite passer, mm-hmm. you know, like, but he's got good vision. But he's also a guy, you know, and, you know, talking to the body guy, where I want to hear your opinion. But something I know from, you know, a lot of experience coaching high school kids, the kids who wear the long sleeve shirt are typically like a little self-conscious or insecure about their frame. So I would imagine he is like pretty skinny.
Corey, I love that you brought that up because that was the first thing I was going to say. He is skinny. He's super skinny. It goes both ways, right? If you're wearing the shirt under, it's either you're too skinny or too fat is kind of how you feel about yourself, I think. Most of the guys that are ripped out of their minds, look at Dalton Connect. Dalton Connect's not wearing an undershirt, buddy. Never happening. He wants you to see the guns. Sun's not out, but the guns are out for Dalton Connect always. But with Carrington, I'm with you, man. I think... And Corey, I like what you said about his passing. Like, I think he's a good passer, but I also think his decision-making is not there right now. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes he puts himself into some really iffy situations that I'm just kind of like, hey, that's youth right there. Like, sometimes, like, why are you doing this jump pass here that was not necessary and leading to a turnover, right? That's the type of stuff that he's got to work through. But I don't like his frame. Like, I actually think he's really, really thin. And I don't think he has great shoulders. And I do have some concerns about that type of prototype of a player or archetype of a player. Like I didn't move him very much up my board. I think I still have a lot of question marks and I'm not super high on him, but I do want to acknowledge some of the good things, right? Like, as you mentioned, the mid-range shooting has been good. He can be a good passer. I would just like him to work on that and kind of tighten things up is how I feel, but I'll always have questions about that frame with him. I'm not a huge fan of his frame right now is what I'd say.
Yeah. And, you know, he's young. That'll get better. Yeah. If the draft were today, I'd definitely think he'd be a first round prospect and he'd probably be a top 20 prospect for me personally. But would I be ready to throw a top 10 pick at him right now? Not yet. I need to see more. And ultimately, like, I need to see him get to the rim. Like, I need to see him get to the rim more and I need to see him finish there. Like, you know, we just came off from talking about Rob Dillingham. I don't love Rob's frame. Like, he's definitely, you know, we talked about him putting on weight, but like, I think he's got those narrow shoulders. and he's tiny, but like he's willing to attack the rack and he's willing to like finish around contact.
He's smooth doing it too.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's stuff that I haven't yet seen from Carrington. I get it. Like, you know, the 6'5", you know, lead guard type of guy is a really, really intriguing archetype, right? Especially one who can pass, who can, you know, hit tough pull-ups. And, but I just, you know, I got to see more. Yes. I got to see more. I'm in wait and see, but like, I think he's good. He can play for sure.
I think overall, Corey, I know we're wrapping up here, but I think the next iteration of this is going to look really different because now we've got some solid tape from these college guys. Our no ceilings board is going to look very different the next time we drop one. So I think the next iteration of this is going to be even more interesting because I'm expecting a lot of change.
Yeah, and there is going to be a lot of change. Like honestly, like this, the results probably would change a lot if we did this again in a week. You know, because like, you know, it's not like I know the schedule of when each outlet is going to, you know, update their boards and whatnot. So, and even at No Ceilings, we have a new board coming out, I think next week, I believe. If not next week, it's the week after. So like our rankings are going to change and would sway a lot of these results. But this is the current draft stock based on the information that is available. So, you know, that's our top 50. You can go see it at noceilingsnba.com. Make sure that you subscribe so you get it sent to your email every single morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time, completely free. We do have a No Ceilings Plus option with bonus content. You'll get content, for instance, when I went to see UConn in Texas, I did a little scouting notebook and gave scouting reports on the guys that I saw from that day. And that was available to paid subscribers. You know, Rucker wrote a piece about NBA development. And so, you know, you're getting a lot of things that we wouldn't normally necessarily publish, but this year we're publishing them and that's available to you if you want. If not, you get the same exact coverage that you've always gotten. Also be on the lookout for the new No Ceilings show. Review that first episode will be out very shortly. We're excited about that. We're going to talk some NBA. We're going to talk some draft on that show. It's going to have a rotating panel of guests hosted by our own Tyler Rucker. Make sure that you, if you're watching this, thank you for coming through and participating in the chat. We love when that happens. So make sure you like, subscribe. I think the button's somewhere around here. Share it with your friends. That would rock. And again, with the podcast feed, subscribe, like, review, rate, all that good stuff. And we will see you next week. Till that time, we're out. Peace.
Peace.